Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion,
robe and crown.
We're singing, Lord,
mansion,
I want a brand new mansion,
robe and the crown.
In glory, there, I know that
peace and love will always abound. Let me
to your throne
surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion,
robe
and crown.
Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? Good, you look good. Look good this morning. Isn't it nice and cold, cool this morning? Yes, we haven't had much of a winter this winter. And so I welcome this cool weather. If you're visiting with us, you're honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We'll acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Those of you that's watching us by way of live stream, good morning. Everybody, church, say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We wished we could make you feel like you were here, but thank God for technology that you can worship with us in spirit anyway from home. Many who are watching this morning, I wish that they could desperately be. That's why you don't need to take it for granted when you're able to be in the assembly. Yes, yes, and some are sick, some are taking care of loved ones, and we just want you to know that we love you, and we miss you. We miss your presence. Those of us that's watching by way of television, if you have a question, if you need to talk to someone, if you need to pray with someone, then please call the number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to do that on even today. We have been going through some, what we're calling some fundamental lessons here at the beginning of the year, and I want to dive right in so I can have time enough to try to do this lesson some justice this morning. I have entitled the lesson this morning, No More, No More, No More. Let's begin. This is really a study, a Bible study, as we worship our great God in heaven. And you hear me say it, but I've always been humbled and intrigued by the Word of God. But even more so as I grow older, I love reading the Word of God because it seems like I find more and more that we need to be doing for the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 17. Did I ask you, are you all right?
Yeah.
I did. Okay. All right. All right, okay. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. The law is referred to also as the law of Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The law was given. When we're trying to live for God, that's some things we can't miss. We need to understand when it comes to the Word of God. We need to know a little bit about the history, the law. Your Bible is divided up in the Old Testament, the New Testament. You need to know the difference, the importance of both testaments. They're the whole Bible, but the Scripture says the law was given through Moses. The law is capitalized probably in your Bible. In the first dispensation of time, from Adam to Noah, we have no recorded written law. We have record of the events during that time, but they didn't have written law. And you know what happened to that generation. Only 8 survived from that generation, Noah and his family. And then God selects a people to begin carrying out his ultimate plan of salvation of all mankind. And he selects the children of Israel to begin carrying out the plan. He says, and he gave the law. It would be the written law. If you go to Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to call a lot of scriptures. You can take notes if you want to. Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, and Moses was his selected servant to begin to deliver the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. That's what he said to Moses. Now, here we have the written word. See, you can't get away from the written word. He says, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. That's what he told Moses. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat nor drink water. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Okay. And so actually this is the second time that the word is written. And we just don't have time to go into all the history, but he'd actually given the commandments to Moses before chapter 34. He sent Moses on the mountain, but the first time God wrote, the Bible says he wrote them with his finger. But Moses got angry at the people because when he came down from the mountain, they were worshiping idols. They were God's chosen people. He delivered them. Lord have mercy. They made a calf to worship. Why, Moses? What do children do when the parents are not there? Sometimes they cut up, don't they? Yeah, and we do the same thing as grown people a lot of times. What do we do when we're not in the presence of the Lord? Are we never in the presence of the Lord? We're always in His presence. Sometimes when we come to worship service, we're not finna cut up in here. But it's what we do when we're not away. When we are away. And let me read this. I want you to get all of this. Okay? Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. You'll see Exodus 34, 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones. I just want you to show you that this time we're reading here is actually the second time that Moses, that these words are written. If you went to chapter 31, Exodus 31, verse 18, you'd watch, listen to this, Exodus 31, 18. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. The first time God wrote the words. But the second time, Moses, God instructs Moses and he writes all of these words, the commandments for, and this would be the law, if you will, the law of Moses. It's God's law, but it's referred to as the law of Moses. And this law was to the children of Israel. And if we had time, we cover God gave them this written law, and the law was designed to bring man to the undeniable knowledge of sin. I mean, of course, see, God always had rules. He gave rules to Adam and Eve. He didn't give them that many rules. He says, listen, he says, be fruitful and multiply. That's one thing he told them. He says to you replenish the earth. He told them to dress the garden. He told them, don't eat of this tree. Didn't have many rules. Don't eat of this tree. And he didn't, and God didn't say anything about it. He wrote them down. You think they could have remembered that? They should have. They didn't write. And then when we get to Noah's generation, we don't have any written law, but Lord have mercy, they just did everything. All kind of evil, all kind of violence. But Noah was a just man. Noah knew what right and wrong was, but he was the only one that seemed like they lived justly before God. And then when we get to the law, it's like God says, this time the people will be without excuse because I'm going to write it down. You know, and see, even today, you know, in the world knowledge, if the law is not written down, you haven't broken a law. You know, you ride down the freeway, if there's no speed signs, always all down the freeway, no speed signs, everybody drive like they want to drive. But when you see that sign say 65, 75, and you see a policeman and you're going 95, just keep your mouth closed and say, yes, sir, give me a ticket. Why? Because you broke the law. And so don't resist the written word, because that is God's law. Yeah, and so, but go back to John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Then it says, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so the law, the purpose of the law in a nutshell was to demonstrate the not, give mankind the knowledge of sin. And it also demonstrated a need for a savior, because under that law, nobody was able to keep that law. A need for somebody to help us through this, because we can't do this by ourselves. We can't conquer sin by ourselves. Even with all the stuff we got to do, we still can't conquer sin. And then the law also pointed people to the Savior. Yeah, over 300 prophecies about Jesus Christ, a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. That's who you need to be looking to. So that's what that was the purpose of the law of Moses. They lived under that law, and they were judged under that law. But I thank God for grace and truth. Ooh, thank God for grace and truth. Mm. Yes, it was realized through Jesus Christ, and Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the only hope that we have today. And so we have this grace and truth. And you see, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, everything under grace and truth is better than the law. Everything is better. A better mediator, Jesus Christ, and better promises, and a better covenant. It's a better agreement between God and us. And we need to embrace better. Because some of the stuff under the law we have to do no more, you know. And there's a lot of confusion even in the world today, especially in the religious world, about this word of God and this law. Listen to Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Stay with me now. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Some men came from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Yeah, and see, so in Jesus' day, when grace and truth had been introduced and offered to mankind, you still have some folk who wanted to hold on to the law. Yeah, and even after the church was established, it says some men, just like today, some men, some women, always trying. Sometimes it's because of ignorance, but sometimes they know what they're doing and they're just trying to deceive. Yeah, and so we have to be on alert. That's why we have to study our Bible. That's why every now and then we need to absolutely know without a doubt what God teaches on this topic. They brought it to the church there, and they says you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was from freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. The Bible refers to the law many times as a yoke, as a hindrance. Because we are now under grace, thank the Lord for grace. Yeah, and everything about grace and truth is better than the law. So no longer we may be circumcised for health reasons, but it's not because we have to in order to be saved. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision, the scripture says, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. This kept coming up even in the Lord's church. He says, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. That's why this grace and truth is better. He says, but what matters is keeping the commandments of God. That's what we need to be doing. It's not that under the new law, under the grace and truth, there are no rules, there are no commandments. God has commandments. But listen, you need to know these commandments are much better than they were. Amen, somebody. Yes, and under grace and truth, God gives us some freedom. Not to use for our own selfish reasons, but to live godly lives, focusing on what's really important to God. Yes. Under the law, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Yeah. Yeah, under the law, it was a bloody mess under the law. And the people would bring lambs and sheep, goats, turtle doves, pigeons, and they were sacrificed before. That's a blood. It's just, my goodness. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not under the law. Law of Moses. You know, I like going to the country. I used to like, you know, seeing the horses, but I didn't like seeing the pigs, and I surely didn't like see my dad used to wring chickens' necks and just scare me to death. And blood everywhere. I don't like seeing a lot of blood today. But under the law, there was so much blood and so much sacrifices, and it went on and on. Listen to Hebrews 9:12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. No more animal sacrifices today. Yeah, no more animal sacrifices today for the children of God. Not necessary, not needed. No more. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I don't have space for no animals on my property. No more burning incense. In Luke 1:8, now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division. Now, this is Luke, Dr. Luke. He's writing before the church is established. He's writing about the life of Christ, and he's giving a record. And he said, verse 9, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord. This would be the place where God dwelled, and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense burn. So if we're under the Old Testament law, the priest would come in the temple. You wouldn't be in the place where he was, but he would be in there, and he would be offering incense as an aroma, as in a fragrance that would go up to God. And the priest only could offer the incense, and he'd offer that incense, and it would burn up and he had to do it perpetually. He had to do it But forever, over and over again, he burned this incense. And here Luke refers to it because they were still under the law before Christ died on the cross for all of our sins. And so if we are in the Old Testament, someone would come and burn the incense. And though you wouldn't see it, you surely would smell it. Some of you burn incense in your houses right now. Don't bring that in the church, though. Why? Because it is not necessary. And I've even heard, one sister told me about one of the churches up north, that they started burning candles and incense in the Lord's house. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what they did. They read or did not read, but we don't need that anymore. Amen, somebody? Listen to Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law. We, being Christians, children of God, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Talking about the law, talking about the law of Moses, talking about the Old Testament. Amen. So therefore, there is no more need for anybody to burn incense. You'll see why specifically in just a moment. So we don't need anybody burning incense in the Lord's house. Amen. Yeah. Because one of the main reasons is there is no more priesthood like it was under the law. Listen to Numbers 3:10. So you shall
appoint Aaron and his sons, and they may keep their priesthood, but the layman who comes near shall be put to death, the scriptures say, under the old law. There were certain things the priest, only the priest could do. And no regular person, no layman, no one who wasn't called by God, no one who was of the Levite priesthood could even get close, come close to touching something they wasn't supposed to be touching. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. That's why we, children of God, we as Christians, we need to recognize who we are. Yeah, I was baptized at an early age, and I knew what I was doing. I knew that I loved the Lord. I knew I wanted to go to heaven. But there are a lot of things that I didn't recognize, I don't think, when I was that young. You know, I didn't recognize how special we really are. Well, amen. I know you coming, you might be feeling down and might be feeling, you know, your boyfriend is no longer your boyfriend. Well, amen. Yeah, and you can't even think straight because she didn't call you last night. And you just all messed up. Yeah. Yeah, your husband not paying enough attention to you. Yeah, your wife is not attentive to you. I know. I'm telling you, those are real emotions. You know, you're getting older now, and not as many people come around. You know, everybody's so busy. Nobody had time for you. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I'm watching. I know I am. I'm trying to be very observant. And you know what? It helps me to be sympathetic with people. And what are you saying, Brooke? Sometimes we need to put ourselves in another person's situation. Yeah. And we have in the Lord's church, we got folk who's single. And you know what? They're going to be single. What do you mean? Some of our members here, they never gonna get married. And you know what? Some of them don't need to get married. Amen. Not everybody, but you know what? And some of you in here, I wish well on everybody. The Lord wants well for all of us. You know what? But some of us need to quit worrying about a man. We quit worrying about a woman. And we need to concentrate on serving God. I'm telling you. And, you know, and I can say that with conviction because I talk to a lot of married folks who are miserable. Now, I talk to a lot of married folk who are happy. Now, don't get me wrong. Now. But we chose. Yeah. I don't care how other people, you know, we're chosen. And see, the priest don't have to offer nothing for us anymore. No more. Because once you become a child of God, we are priests. You realize that? We are priests. He says, but you are a chosen race, a chosen generation. And he says this, you are a royal. Yeah, I love that. I was watching, you know, what's the name? Megan and Harry. You've been watching too, huh? Can't help but watch it. You turn on the TV. And so now they have decided that they want to be on their own. Hey. I heard they're not taking money. They're not taking money for? Yeah. They got some money though. And you don't need to feel sorry for. but what I hear, what I see and what I hear is they want to be free. It used to be a song, I wanna be y'all old something. Yeah. The youngsters, they don't know nothing about that. In with grace and truth, we have freedom.
in Christ. And it's the good freedom. See, you know, I don't know if they still do this. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying.
I was watching a half of a movie the other day, and this guy, well, he was doing all kind of devilment. And he would, after every other day, he would go to the priest. And he'd go back in that room, and that guy be sitting on the other side of that window, and he says, Father, I have sinned. And, you know, and he tell him exactly what he was doing. I said, oh, my goodness. And he felt like he had to do that to relinquish himself of all of his guilt. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could tell. Man, you need to read the Bible. Because guess what? We don't need that no more. because we are a royal priesthood. Yeah, under the law of grace and truth. He calls us a holy nation. He said a people for God's own post. That's why we urge anyone who comes here who's not a member of the body of Christ to claim your priesthood. Yeah. And I know everybody don't understand it. And you may not, you know, it's not like an overwhelming feeling that comes over you and it rescues from all of your trials and troubles in life. But for me to know that the master, the creator of the world, I am his. If that boy don't want me, that's why you're a child of God. Don't you ever take your life. Nobody is worth it. Yeah. It says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so under the law, if you're still trying to live under the law, if there are people who are still trying to live under the law, they actually are in darkness. So we don't have to worry about going to a priest, praying to a priest lighting anything for us, because our prayers are incense to the Lord. No more tithing. No more tithing. You know what tithing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 6. Deuteronomy 12, 6. I'm not going to have time to finish this, but I'm going to just go till it's time to stop. No more tithing. Deuteronomy 12, 6. There you shall bring your burnt offerings. This is under the law. You shall bring your burnt offerings. Notice this. Your sacrifices. Under the law. That's why Romans chapter 7 says, why are you taking on this yoke? Because that's what it. God wanted them to recognize. Look, you cannot perfect yourself. You can, all of these. He says your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithe was a tenth of their land, a tenth of their crop, a tenth of their possession. He said the contribution of your hand, your votive, your volunteer offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. Some of y'all wouldn't have gave that no way. Some of us wouldn't have gave that no way. Because I mean, it's hard enough trying to remember all of that. Yeah. But that was the law. It was read before them. They were to keep the law. But thank the God, thank the Lord for grace and truth. Yes. Ain't God good? Yeah, he's good. God is grace and truth. He said, no more tithing. Yeah, some of you right now, you say, oh, no more tithing? I thought we supposed to give a tenth of everything. And some of you that's been in the church, you might know, but we got folks who get baptized out of the world all the time. They just don't know. Because I know they don't know, because sometimes, I left my tithing in the office in there. And I'm kind of glad today. They leave something, amen. We have freedom in Christ. And Some of us don't give a tithe. Some of us don't give a tithe was a tenth. Well, so what you're saying, we can give what we want? Well, basically, that's, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll just read one verse, verse number 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. So our giving is up to our heart. Yeah, you like that, don't you? Yeah. See, under grace and truth, the scripture says, don't give grudgingly. Don't give mad like we... I sure could use this $10 buy some lottery tickets. Did I hear something? Not grudgingly, nor under compulsion, nor you know, of necessity. Like you, the church need my money. Well, I can say we do need money to operate, but God surely don't need our money. The cattle on a thousand hill belong to who? Your little Toyota belong to God. And so under grace and truth, it says we give as we purpose. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, if we serve a good God, if God is the God of mercy, of grace and truth, how much do we love God is the question. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, we give gifts to each other. And you say, baby, what you want me to gift you for your birthday? And she say, well, baby, just give me whatever. That's dangerous. Baby, just give me whatever you want to give me, baby. Because I'll take whatever you give. Yeah. And you go to the store when you in the store. And she said, get whatever I give. I think you come back with a pencil if you want to. See, you, and it's not, I'm not saying that a material thing is, a material thing will determine how we love each other. But think about it. If I say to my wife, baby, whatever you want, I'll have no special requests, whatever you want. And she come back in the house and she said, well, baby, I know you like Frosted Flakes, so I got you a box of Frosted Flakes. I ain't gonna say nothing. Woo. Did we give the Lord Frosted Flakes? I was just. See, no more tithing. No more tithing. Yeah. So you asked the question. How much should we give? How much you make? I mean, you know. See, in other words, see, if you make $100, if you make $100 a week, and I know that's not enough to live on. Well, I take that back. It's enough for some people to live on. Depending on who, it's relative. You make $100 and... Some people in their heart, they say, well, you know, I only make $100. I can't afford to give nothing to the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to realize
how good you really are, how gracious you are, how merciful you are, how you are the sustainer of life, how everything evolves around you, our relationship with you. Help us, because it's going to help us to give better. And so sometimes, and we're trying to grow. We're not trying to put a guilt trip on about anybody. But see, the Word of God, it convicts me. And we need to recognize the areas that we need to grow in. Because we're no longer under the law. And yes, tithes are no more. But where is our hearts? See, if my heart is no, you know, we get a paycheck and some folk get a paycheck and God is nowhere in the picture. Yeah. Yeah. Under the law, no more choirs. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16, some people come here and they don't see the choir stand or the chairs back, and they say, well, where's your choir? Where's your? They don't see the organs or the pianos or the tambourines or the drums in the corner. And they're like, where's all the? In First Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16, then David spoke to the chief of the Levites. Remember, the Levites are the priestly family ordained by God to do everything pertaining to the temple, pertaining to temple worship. And he says, spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps and lyres and loud sounding cymbals to raise sounds of joy. Yeah, that was under the law. It would seem that they had appointed singers, and I tell you what, you know, I like music. Matter of fact, I love music. Anybody else love music? I love music. What you listen to? I don't want to hear what you listen to. This morning we were listening to. I have a. It's a Christian a cappella streaming. And, oh, I put it on my computer through the car. And, it gets you in the spirit. I was listening to that. But I'm going to tell you, I wish I could have heard the choir back then. Okay, don't say that. We in the church of Christ. Oh, y'all read your Bible. Don't listen. Church of Christ Christians, study your Bible. Listen, if God ordained that, he loved that. Amen? Yeah, now just because you can't play an instrument don't mean you can't like the instrument. Amen, somebody? Don't. Yeah, some of y'all looking strange. You're nervous. I know you're nervous. But obviously God loved that. Yeah. And look, when you got some cymbals, you know when the cymbals are chin 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 chin, and they had a joyful noise going on, amen. Yeah. But when we get to grace and truth, see, many things change from the law to grace and truth. We just read a few of them. No more animal sacrifice. That was a huge change. Can you imagine having you worshiping the Lord? You're a Jew and you got all these animals. You go buy. You got the marketplace that got all these. You go to the market. Well, babe, we got to get a calf. You pay for it. You pack it home. You pack it there. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes, and now you don't have to sacrifice no more animals. No more. You crazy? I've been doing this all my life, and I'm going to keep doing it. And that's what some of them did. Even during that was a transitional period when the church was established, all these folk were baptized. They kept on doing some of the stuff that they had been doing. Why? Because that's what I did. That's what mama did. That's what daddy did. And I'm going to keep on doing it. And sometimes that's how we get. We get so. I'm on this, bro. This is what I do. But we're under the law no more, and we are under grace and truth. And then when you get to grace and truth, Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. You read Ephesians 1, you see that this was written to the church. You see that nobody designated the Levites, the priesthood. There's no such thing in. We are all a priest. There's no choir. Guess who the choir is? We're all a choir. We all sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and we all can do that, and we do it together, and it makes a joyful noise to the Lord. We're no longer under the law. I can't sing for you, you can't sing for me. Amen. Amen, somebody. So when we come to worship service, and guess what? When you don't sing to the Lord, I don't sing that good. Yes, you do. You sing good, because when your song come on, you be I bet you sing that, don't you? Or you might rap it. I don't know how to rap. So. Hebrews 13:15, through him then let us continually, notice us, is we are the priests, offer up a sacrifice. No bulls, no goats, no incense. Offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What's that, Brother Gary? That is the fruit of lips. Yes. That give thanks to his name. Yeah, God loves it when we say praise the Lord. When we sing songs of praise to him. I want to praise him. I want to praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise him. Well, I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. Well, I love to praise his holy name. Well, he's my rock. He's my rock. He's my rock, my soul. Well, he's a, well, he's a, yes, in the middle. I know he'll never, yes, he'll never let. He's just a Jew, he's just a Jew. Yes, that I have found. Let's sing hallelujah. Yes, I love. Let's sing hallelujah, hallelujah, will I hallelujah. Oh, let's sing hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, I hallelujah. Will I love in the morning, I love in the evening, I love praise holy name. Yes, yes, yes. That pleases God. Yes, that pleases God. And so under grace and truth, we all sing. Now, we all can't play, but surely all of us can sing praises to the Lord. Under grace and truth, there's no more guilt. And see, this is one that I know I didn't fully understand. I'm understanding it better now. In Hebrews 7:19, the Bible says, for the law made nothing perfect. The law, that would be the law of Moses. And I'm sure that there were some sincere individuals who were trying their best to keep that law. They had the animals lined up. They knew the day they were supposed to do it. They worshiped God on all of these feast days. They went to Jerusalem and they handed down, say, we got to do all of this stuff right. But they were trying their best, but boy, it's so much. It just became, my goodness, I can't do all of this. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what the scripture says, provoke not. Because see, daddies and mamas can do it also. Because see, when you expect your children, your child is a child. And you know, the scriptures say foolishness is bound up in the child. That's what I say. Some of these scriptures, they just come to life to me. I say, boy, that's so true. I mean, little bitty children, just foolish. Say things, they will say anything, come out their mama. Where you get that from? And I'm sure there were some folk back in the Old Testament trying to do everything right, but they couldn't. And see, for somebody that's sincere, they're sincere and they're trying to do right, but they don't do right. You know what happens? Guilt. So that's somebody in here this morning, and you're laden with guilt. And you have embraced grace and truth. Now I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. Is we carry more of a load than we need to be carrying. Now this is not to excuse anyone from living a holy life, because we all should be striving to live, be holy before God. The Bible tells us to be ye holy. It tells us as Christians to be ye holy, for I am. I'm holy. In other words, don't make no bones about it. Don't play with God. But at the same time, God wants us to be lights in the world. And what I've discovered about myself is that you heard me say I ask the Lord for forgiveness every single day. Because when thoughts come in my mind, I try to reprove these thoughts or deny these thoughts, and they come in my mind sometimes. I say, Lord, please clear me up. I didn't mean to curse this man out in my mind. Well, Gary, you do that? Not every day. But see, me being a preacher, if that happens in my mind, I'm like, Lord, how did this come? I'm a preacher. I'm reading the word of God. I'm a preacher. I'm praying. I'm standing up before the church. How did this thought come in my mind? And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. If I don't watch out, that can mess up my sermon. That could mess me up at work. That could mess me up as a husband, as a wife, on my job. If you don't realize that we as Christians are under the law of grace and truth, and the Bible says the law made nothing perfect, and on the other hand, there is a bringing of hope through which we draw near to God. And listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die. That's made to be dead to the law. That made to be discharged from the law through the body of Christ, so that we might be joined to one another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. And it's hard to bear fruit, packing guilt around to the point that we've just come unproductive for God. And so what we need to do as children of God, as Christians, as those who are in the body of Christ, we need to do when we sin, whether it's in mind, whether it's in action, we need to humbly go to God and ask God for forgiveness of our sins. We don't have to wait to carry a bull or a goat to the priest. We can do this in our cars. We can do this in our houses. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us. This is what we have under Christ Jesus, to forgive us of all of our sins. Some of us, we need to embrace this grace. this truth, we need to embrace the law that we are under today. Because the old law, the ordinances, the rules, the burdens of the old law are no more. And I don't know about you, but I thank the Lord for grace. I thank the Lord because some of us, we made some showing up mistakes, haven't we? Yeah, we have. But you know what? It's time to get up. It's time to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. It's time to stop having that pity party. It's time to start using our gift for God and quit making excuses. You're here today, and you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to do it God's way. Now, we're not under the old law, but God still has commandments and laws. But you got to know they're better. See, under the old law, any male child had to be circumcised on the eighth day. Thank the Lord. Now, under the old law, all of these requirements. Under the new law, you can have all your sins erased almost in an instant. At the point of your faith drives you to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you, in your mind, you repent. You say, I want to change life. You repent of all of your sins. You confess with your mouth. You come down and you confess before us. But you confess to God that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you baptize in water. God adds you to his body. You don't have to get on the cross. You don't have to get circumcised. And God does it that day. We don't do a credit check. We don't do a background check. We don't require your W-2s, thank you. And God adds you to his family. I know I was kind of long today. See, listen. That's why I want to finish this. Lord, say the same. We all still living. I'm going to try to finish this because, see, when we do it God's way, it's disgrace and truth, but we got to do it his way because God has only one family. This is just Bible teaching. This is not meant to be harmful to anybody, but when you read the Bible, God's intention was, even before the world was, still is, that everybody be in his one family. And you know and I know it's not like that, because we got all kinds of teaching. And you today, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, he adds you to his family. And hopefully, Lord says the same, the next lesson I deliver, we're going to try to identify really what that family looks like. You here today, you want to be baptized, you can be baptized. If you're here today and you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here, would you come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting?